Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Green sends to the corner, catch and shoot three. Gary Trent answers right back. He rips the cords on another three. He's got a season-high 26 points now.
Bucks talk starts now.
Feeds ahead to Porter, and Porter goes up in the elevator and sends it down with a snap jam and a timeout coming.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios, here's Justin Garcia.
Well, a taking care of business win tonight for the Bucks. You're not going to celebrate beating the G League version of the New Orleans Pelicans, but it's one of those games where if you don't win it, it borders on disaster because of, number one, the fact that the Indiana Pacers won tonight. So it's not officially over, but as we're now months removed from election season, if we were sitting at the desk of CNN, I think we'd have John King ready to call it at this point, that the Indiana Pacers are going to win the four seed here. They're three games up with four games remaining, so their magic number is two. They win two games, or they win a game and the Bucks lose a game. We've talked about schedules in the past, and the Pacers tonight was a big one that you circled. Like, if the Pacers lost that game in Denver to the Nuggets, it's two games going into the final week. You could talk yourself into it, because three of the final four that the Pacers have are against the Orlando Magic and Cleveland Cavaliers. But now with three left, the Magic are going to need to win to secure their seeding. You want to avoid 9-10 at all costs in the play-in tournament, because you have to win two games to get into the playoffs as the 8 seed. If you're on that 7-8 line, if you lose the first game, you still got another crack at it. So you want to be on that 7-8 line. Magic are going to have some urgency there. But the Cavs, as we mentioned on the network postgame, their magic number's one. So one Celtics loss or one Cavs win, and the Cavs are the one seed. The 82nd game of the season is the Pacers and the Cavs. The one seed's it's going to be determined by that point. So you can't look at it and say, well, they got two tough games. I would imagine we're not going to see regulars for Cleveland in that game. The other one in between, who knows? And that's why the first two were important, because you got, Friday nights, it's the Magic that the Pacers have, and I believe it's Thursday, it's the Pacers and the Cavs. If they lost tonight, you could talk yourself into it with that schedule and say, well, stranger things have happened. Now you got to take care of business and win these games. But that was a tough one to see, as the Bucks gritted this one out, and then you see just around the same time the Pacers win. So it has set up a scenario where it does feel like the Bucks will be the 5 seed. And we're going to get the rematch of the Bucks versus the Indiana Pacers in the first round of the playoffs. I do want to get to what the numbers suggest. We've referenced playoffstatus.com all throughout the season. So what are they saying by the numbers that the Bucks are going to finish? Where the Bucks are going to finish? We just ran through very briefly the Pacers' schedule for the week. Briefly, because again, it's probably just a formality at this point. But what about the what about the Detroit Pistons? Could you get this to a spot where you're currently a game up? Could you get to a spot where you're even three games up on the Pistons going into that Friday matchup where it doesn't matter and it's secured? Or is Friday night going to be the most important game in those two games left? Because you win that and it's over by the numbers that the Bucks wrap up that 5 seed. Or is the 5 seed not what you want? Have you started to talk yourself into the New York Knicks as well? We will explore all of those on tonight's show. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Another big game, too, from Kevin Porter Jr. And perhaps most importantly, a big game from both Kevin Porter Jr., or nice games, I should say, from Kevin Porter Jr. and Ryan Rollins. So we'll dig into that and get to the imminent return of Bobby Portis when we return on tonight's show. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
Three straight wins now for the Bucks, who beat the artist formerly known as the New Orleans Pelicans tonight. 9 players on the injury report, all of them out. The Bucks, for that matter, playing this game without Giannis, without Dame, without Bobby Portis, without our guy Pat Connaughton. So this was, as you could tell if you watched the game or listened and could hear the crowd, wasn't a whole lot of juice in this building. And some of the crew with the Pelicans was saying, yeah, it's been like this all season. Like, we had a nice crowd somewhat recently when the Warriors came here and Steph Curry played. But other than that, it's been tough here in New Orleans. I said this at the time, too. And granted, we assumed it was going to be, hey, this is really going to help the Bucks secure that 4 seed, maybe even get to the 3 seed. But remember, this game was supposed to be played at the end of January. And New Orleans got pummeled with 12 inches of snow. So this game was postponed. The Bucks didn't get back to Milwaukee until hours before they had to play the Miami Heat. So there's the irony, too, is this game's canceled. You fly into Milwaukee or postponed. You fly into Milwaukee and land, I think it was 3:30, 4:30 that the Bucks landed that day. TNT had to push the tip time back. And you beat the Miami Heat in a game that Doc Rivers and the rest of the team said, no, we want to play this. Because look at what happened to the schedule now. You added at least one back-to-back with the shuffling of that schedule. And you just knew, look, if we postpone this Miami Heat game, we're adding another back-to-back. We're going to have to move around other games. And that's what you saw here. But I remember saying at the time, this benefits the Bucks greatly. The longer this goes, the longer this drags out before we see what the makeup date is for that game. That's going to help the Bucks because it was a Pelicans team that was already dealing with it that season. Already struggling mightily, and you just couldn't help but wonder, they're in the bottom three in the West consistently this season. Like, at what point do they just pull the plug on Zion Williamson and other guys? So the longer you can put this off and put this late in the season, you may not catch any of those guys. And that's exactly where the game was shifted to, and that was exactly the scenario that the Bucks had. You got one more of these against New Orleans on Thursday night at home. Again, the lead up to that game and that game Friday in Detroit against the Pistons is going to be very telling here. So we just went through what Indiana has. The Wizards, 2 games with the Cavs, 1 game with the Orlando Magic. I don't think we can assume both of those games with the Cavs are going to be telling or competitive games because Cleveland is likely to secure the 1 seed any day now. But the Pistons games, and I suppose before we say that, the numbers are now suggesting, it includes all the final scores from tonight, playoffstatus.com, which looks at the schedule ahead, your win probabilities, if this happens and this happens and yada, yada, yada. What do the scenarios tell us by the numbers? What is most likely to occur? The Pacers now have a 97% chance to get the 4 seed. The Bucks only a 3% chance, but the Bucks had been around 50-50 or lower for a long time in that 5-6 hunt. 74% chance the Bucks finish 5th, which would mean another first-round matchup with the Indiana Pacers, and only this time you would not have home court advantage. By the way, the Central Division is going to get 5 postseason teams. They may get 5 playoff teams. Cavs, Pacers, Bucks, and Pistons have all clinched top 6 seeds. And then you have the Chicago Bulls, who are going to be in the play-in tournament and may be either the 7 or 8 seed, depending on how this week goes. So you could have all 5 teams from the Central Division in the playoffs. One other thing to touch on before we do dig into the Detroit Pistons schedule, and I mentioned this on the broadcast, but the Bucks, with the win, are now 19-20 on the road. So you got 1 road game left. And you got a chance to get to 500. Think about earlier in the season how many times we heard Doc Rivers asked about and talking about, we struggle to win on the road. We got to turn that around. You got a chance to finish 500 now. for where the Bucks started to some of the struggles that they had, that would be a massive feather in your cap. So that's a solid base to build upon, especially since you're not going to have home court advantage in any series you play in. You know, if we assume it's the Bucks and the Pacers in the first round of the playoffs, you're not hosting your first playoff game. This is the biggest change. You're not hosting your first playoff game until, in all likelihood, that following Friday, Thursday? So the playoffs will open up the weekend of Easter. Saturday the 19th, Sunday the 20th, you're going to be on the road for both of the first two games. First time we've seen that in this era of Bucks basketball. Nine straight trips to the playoffs. Now, you got to go all the way back to the second trip to the playoffs when the Bucks did not have home court advantage. So that's going to be big for this team. If you can say, hey, we started to win. I don't care who played or who didn't play, who the teams were. This team struggled on the road. And if you can finish the season 500, that could be a nice boost, knowing you're going to have to play the majority of your games on the road in the postseason. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. A couple of calls we'll get to here, and I do want to dig into that Detroit Pistons schedule. We'll do that next.
The Round Ball Repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
.111-107 final in New Orleans. Bucks beat the Pelicans, but unfortunately, you hoped you could shave a game off that margin against the Pacers tonight, and that is not the case, as Indiana does hang on to beat the Denver Nuggets. So Indiana still three games up on the Bucks in the loss column with four games remaining. You either need to go 4-0, and you do need to go 4-0 and have the Pacers go 3-1, or the Pacers go, or excuse me, the Pacers go 1-3, or the Pacers somehow go winless, and you go 3-1. But it's not over, but it's mathematically very, very difficult for the Bucks to finish anywhere other than fifth or sixth at this point. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head to the phones and talk with Dale in Oak Creek. You're up first.
Hey, Justin. Thank you for taking my call. So I saw the Bucks game, and I think it was a good game today. And you could see that it was a good game because so the Bucks score like 100. I think the score was 111-97, and yeah. So. And then my question is, do you think they're going to make it to the NBA Finals? But I don't know. If they do make it to the NBA Finals, then it would be nice to win like NBA Finals. But I don't know. Let's hope that happens. And then, yep.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Dale. There's still a lot to be determined and decided before we can entertain how far the Bucks go in the playoffs. We don't know what their seed is, what the matchups would be. And again, we don't know the health situation of Damian Lillard. I think we had a pretty big clarification yesterday from Doc Rivers, too, that I've just seen more and more people using the words or the word close with Dame of like, well, I thought it was close. No one has ever said that. The verbiage used has always been optimistic and hopeful. I know there was a Shams Charania report and hit on another show earlier in the week where we talked about Damian Lillard hoping to get cleared to do something in a week or week and a half. That something was never indicated as he's hoping to get cleared to play in an NBA game in a week or week and a half. The message has been the same all throughout this. And, you know, unfortunately, the message has been very similar to that was delivered about Giannis last year when we kept hearing we're hopeful, we're optimistic. Because I think Doc Rivers, and I'm glad he said this yesterday in the pregame show too, was asked about, look, we've seen a number of guys deal with blood clots, and it has traditionally been a six-month window where that guy's out. You know, Asar Thompson last year, I think it was around early January, he was battling them. He was out for the rest of the season. And the Pistons were a historically bad team a season ago. Maybe that was a factor in it, but he went down for the rest of the season in January. Victor Wembanyama, somewhat similar story earlier in the calendar year here, but he was ruled out for the rest of the season. Chris Bosh, his career ended with blood clots. So the question was, look, we've seen traditionally it's been a six-month timeline for the most part, and I get everybody is different, everybody's body reacts differently, but the fact that it's almost like you can guarantee or count down, this is going to be half a year. What's different here that you guys are optimistic? And Doc said, well, the treatment, and we feel like we caught this early. I mean, if you read between the lines, when Dame was missing three games with calf soreness before the revelation came out, you get the sense it was, we knew what it was then. He was getting imaging and scans done. He was on blood thinners, and they were working through it. He also has more access to round-the-clock treatment and more frequent check-ins where he can get these scans done. But, you know, Doc mentioned all that. The fact that it was lower in the calf was another very helpful thing there, lower in the body, I should say. But he closed with, it could be 6 months. We just don't know. And that's why we say it does some ways feel similar to the message that was delivered about Giannis last year. Yeah, we think he's close. They did say close with Giannis a year ago. But as we learned, that was gamesmanship. Like, we're optimistic. We're hopeful. That's what you've heard. You have not heard any message of close. And to be clear, this is much more significant than dealing with a soleus strain when we're talking about long-term health. The potential for fatality, too, if something goes wrong there. So, of course, they're going to be very, very cautious. But I think it was important, and I'm glad that was the message Doc Rivers delivered, was here's why we've said what we said. Here's why we're optimistic. Here's why we're hopeful. All that being said, yes, this could still be 6 months, and he may not return this season. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. We teased the Pistons schedule, so I do want to take a look at that, what they have in front of them for the final four games of the season, because it is markedly different in terms of how challenging it is going to be compared to what the Bucks are facing, what the Indiana Pacers are facing as well. So we'll dig into that schedule ahead for the Pistons coming up after this.
This is Bucks Talk.
So you're still three games, you being the Bucks, still three games back of the Indiana Pacers for the four seed in the East. You both have four games left. You do hold the tiebreaker, but felt like you really needed that one tonight for the Pacers to lose to the Denver Nuggets. And then it ultimately boils down to a handful of games throughout the course of the season that you look at and you say, coulda, woulda, shoulda, like if we would have taken care of business in this game. That's the one that probably decided it for us. And I get there's games on the calendar, November, December, January, that are just as frustrating for a team that started 2-8, too. But they all count the same in terms of wins and losses in the standings. But once you get to this point where it is tangible, you can see the finish line, that's where it stands out more. You look at the four-game losing streak. You look at what the Bucks did really after that win streak coming out of the All-Star break. Those are the games that it feels like, really, as soon as you beat the Pacers, and that one loss you had to the Indiana Pacers, that's another one. That was a double whammy. You hang on and win that game, you give the Pacers a loss. Changes things. Takes a loss off your tally, adds one to them. Like, that's a big one. So it is probably time to retire the talk about hoping for the four seed. So let's shift our attention to the five seed and hanging on to that. The Pistons schedule is tomorrow night, taking on the Sacramento Kings. Detroit also has three of their final four at home. They're in the midst right now of a four-game homestand. They lost last night to the Memphis Grizzlies at home. Tomorrow they play the Sacramento Kings, who are trying to hold off the Phoenix Suns. I do want to touch on that before we wrap up as well. Thursday, they play the New York Knicks, the same night the Bucks are playing the New Orleans Pelicans. And then the two games with the Bucks. If you can win your next two games here, if you're the Bucks, the Minnesota Timberwolves on Tuesday, the Pelicans once again on Thursday, and even if the Pistons split, you would extend that margin, split those two games, the Kings and the Knicks. You would extend the margin to two heading into the final weekend where you got two games against Detroit, and that puts the pressure on Friday night. Both teams, right, knowing win this game and they can't catch you, or lose this game and it comes down to Sunday. So it is a very difficult schedule that the Pistons have left. And look, you can't even rule out dropping those two games against the Kings and the Knicks. But the most important part for the Bucks, you got that one game in the separation. Just win. Win these games, and it's not even a conversation. It doesn't matter until you get to those final two games. I mentioned the Phoenix Suns and their lot. I do want to touch on that before we sign off, because it includes the Sacramento Kings, who the Pistons will be playing tomorrow, and their final game of the season that maybe it sets up for a similar scenario we could have with the Bucks and Pistons. Maybe it's irrelevant, and there's another offseason of change coming to Phoenix and our friend Mike Budenholzer. We'll get into that conversation and wrap things up after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
I'm on top of the world.
All right, we will certainly get to the conversation of five versus six. You're not going to have home court advantage in either scenario. Which matchup is better for the Bucks? We'll get into that once we get into the week here, and once it starts to become more and more certain what the matchups are and who is seated where. But I did mention in passing the Sacramento Kings playing the Pistons tomorrow. And the Kings beating the Cavs earlier today. The Kings are currently the 9 seed in the Western Conference. They are now 3 games up on the Phoenix Suns, and the Dallas Mavericks are 2 games up on the Phoenix Suns. The Suns do, I believe, hold the tiebreaker over Dallas, but it's still up in the air for that final matchup between the Suns and the Kings. By the way, the next game that the Dallas Mavericks play is a home game Wednesday night against Luka Doncic and the Dallas Lakers. So that, you think that'll have a lot of attention and eyeballs on it? It's finally here. That's the game where Luka returns to Dallas, but their final 3 games: home against the Lakers, home against the Raptors, who have now been eliminated from the playoffs, and then on the road in Memphis against the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies are currently the 8 seed in the Western Conference. The Suns' remaining schedule with 4 games left on the outside looking in. Multiple games they have to make up. Home against the Warriors on Tuesday. Home against the Oklahoma City Thunder the next night. Then the San Antonio Spurs also at home on Friday, and they wrap up the season in Sacramento against the Kings on Sunday, final day of the regular season. Just as we said it was with the Pistons, same story with the Suns. It is an incredibly challenging schedule. Why are we talking about the Phoenix Suns? I think there's still a lot of interest in these parts, in what the Phoenix Suns do, if for no other reason than who their head coach is. And we touched on both of those games in the last week, how kind of strange it was and awkward and just muted the overall vibes were, especially the home game where Bud returned to Milwaukee. I do think, for the most part, Bucks fans are still pulling for Bud and want the best for him, especially since the team he's coaching now is in a different conference. But the numbers are suggesting Suns are going to miss the playoffs, and you've started to hear more and more chatter of what else is going to happen in the offseason. We assume Kevin Durant is traded. They've said Devin Booker is untouchable. Maybe they reverse course there, because it's starting to look more and more like the best route forward for this team is to just completely rebuild. And do they seriously consider firing their head coach 3 off seasons in a row. We'll find out after Sunday, but we now head into the final week of the regular season. Tuesday night, Bucks return to the floor to take on the Minnesota Timberwolves. 7 o'clock tip time, 6:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And it's the return of Bobby Portis. The 25-game suspension is over. We'll have the game at 7 o'clock, and be sure to stick around afterwards for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you then.